Thank Robert for that song. I had told Robert that I was working on a sermon that had to do with bricks. And I forgot to tell him that was for the new year. So, but it's still very applicable as we pick this song out for Jesus. On the solid rock I stand. And for us, Jesus is our hope. Indeed, we build our hope on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. And we want to talk about the righteousness of Christ and the wonderful promises and the things that He said that He will do and has done. We just read in John chapter 14, verse 1, and how Jesus made some interesting points there. And I want to bring those out to you in a way that maybe you hadn't thought of before. What we see here is that Jesus came from heaven. We'll discuss that. We see that Jesus walked among mankind. We'll discuss that. That He returned to heaven, and we will discuss that. He is preparing a place for us, for believers. And Jesus will return one day and bring all things to an end. And then He delivers the church to heaven. In that very opening text, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in me, believe also in God, believe also in me." And we ask the question, it's kind of an obvious answer, maybe rhetorical, but who's the me in the text? We know who the me is. That me is Jesus. But what we may not have noticed, and something that we need to look at, is that He is that one who came down from heaven. And how do we see that in that text? In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, and in verse 14, the first thing we notice is that Jesus was with the Father. We notice that from our text here, that He was with the Father, because He said that in my Father's house. So we know He had to have been somewhere. And in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, what we read there is that Jesus was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was with God in the beginning. And by Him were all things made. Without Him was not anything made. And so we see that He was the Word of God, that message that came down from heaven to be among us. And He brought the blessed gospel, the good news of the salvation of mankind. And we know from this text also that He was the vessel by which all things were made. He is the light, and the light is the life and the light of the world, it says there in our text in John chapter 1 and verse 5. He's that life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. We know this is who Jesus is. In John chapter 8 and verse 12, He says, "I am the light of the world." He is the one that if we follow Him, we will not walk in darkness. And that's who we want to follow. Paul wrote to the Philippians, and he said that because of the light of Christ in Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 15, we are able to be a people who can become blameless and harmless in Christ Jesus. Children of God without fault. And that's in a world that He calls crooked. A crooked world, a perverse generation. And we can be shining as lights of the world. And Jesus made that all possible, because He came down from heaven to be the light of the world. And then in that same text, John chapter 1 and in verse 14, we see that Jesus was the Word, and that Word became flesh. That Word came down from heaven, became flesh, and it dwelled among us. And we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So we know that Jesus, the me in the text, came down from heaven. And we know that He is, of course, the light of the world. And Jesus also, it doesn't stop there. The Bible tells us that He is the bread of life. In John chapter 6, verse 35, He is not only the bread of life, but he is the door. He is the one that can guide us all into righteousness. He can guide us all into the heavens to come. And he does that because he's that door. And he, of course, in guiding us, he's the good shepherd. In John chapter 10, he tells us that he's the good shepherd that gives his life for the sheep. He's the good shepherd because he knows who loves him and he loves us. The good shepherd because we can hear his voice through the word of God. That we're one of his flock. And he's the good shepherd. He is the vine. We're attached to him. And because of that, we have abilities and we're able to hear about the fruit that lasts unto everlasting life. And we're able to do work that he's called us to do, be fruitful in our own selves through him. And he's the resurrection and the life. He is the one who is able to overcome death in this world. So Jesus, not only is he the light of the world, the bread of life, but he's the door, the good shepherd, the vine, the resurrection of life. But he's also the way, the truth, and the life, which we read in our text this morning. Again, who is the me? This is Jesus. He's the one who walked among mankind. Jesus, the one who's the Savior of the world. He is the Son of the living God. Jesus, you know, when we think about Jesus being the Son of the living God, there was a time when the Pharisees, they were trying to do everything they could to make people be disapproved of Jesus, to make him have a fault. And when we look at that there in the book of Mark chapter 14 and verse 62, we know that he's the Son of God because he said he was. They asked him, "Are you the Son of the Blessed?" The high priest asked him that. "Are you the Son of the Blessed?" And what was his answer? His answer was simply, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." Isn't that amazing? That's who this me is in the text. This is Jesus. He's the one that the prophets spoke of. In Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, we read that he himself gave us a sign. "Behold, a virgin shall bring forth and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Randy mentioned that this morning. Emmanuel, God with us. That's who Jesus is. He's the one that the prophets told us about that would be born in Bethlehem. In Micah chapter 5 and in verse 2, he is the anointed one of God. If we turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 61 and read of him, Isaiah chapter 61, and we're going to just read verse 1. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and opening of the prisons to those who are bound." Verse 2, "to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, all the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to counsel those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, oil for joy, mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." Isn't that a wonderful text? But that was said about this Jesus who told us not to worry, to believe in him. He is the one who said, "In my Father's house." He is the one who came down from heaven. And we know that Jesus came down from heaven in the fulfillment of this text, which we can read in the book of Luke, chapter 4 and verse 18, that Jesus indeed did all of these things. He came into the world to preach the good tidings, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty and to open the prisons to those who are bound. Jesus made the blind to see. This is Him. This is the me. When He said, if you believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions. And so we know that this is Jesus. Jesus, you know, He was anointed to seek and to save the lost. That's what Jesus was called to do. And He walked about preaching and teaching in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23. He went about all of the area there in the synagogues, preaching and teaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases among the people. That's what He did when He was here. That proved that He was the Son of God. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 5, the blind walked, the lepers were cleansed, the deaf could hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor, the gospel was preached to them. That is the me in that text. And by His blood, we are forgiven. In Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 7, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. That is who He is. He's the me. Turn with me to the book of Colossians chapter 1. In verses 21 and 23. Colossians chapter 1. Jesus came down. The me in the text. He was in heaven. He came down. He walked among us so that we could be saved if we just believe and obey. All these things He did. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 21 through 23, we read, "And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by the wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through the death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight, if indeed you continue in faith, grounded steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister." Jesus came. If we would just listen to Him and believe in Him, to believe His words, His message, then Jesus will heal us. And so, listen, we need Jesus. That was the work that Jesus did while He was on the earth. He came down from heaven. He walked among men. He did many signs, wonders, and miracles. He healed the blind. He walked on water. He fed 5,000 with a few pieces of fish and some bread. This is the me that we're talking about in that text. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Well, He did all those things. He certainly did. But then, because of that, He had to return to heaven. In our text, He says, "I go." What does it mean when He says, "I go"? "I go to prepare a place for you." That means that Jesus had to leave this world. He wasn't just going to another city or another town when He said that. He was telling His disciples that He was going to die upon a cross. He was telling them that He was going to die and He was going to leave this world and go back up to heaven to be with the Father where He had come from. And so that's what those words mean. It means that Jesus is going back to heaven. And how would Jesus do that? Well, when He says that He had to go, He had to die. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and in verse 3, Paul wrote that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Isaiah chapter 53 and in verse 5 tells us that He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon His shoulders. By His stripes we were healed. And in Isaiah chapter 53 and in verse 8, Isaiah writes that He was cut off from the land of the living. Jesus had to die. Why Jesus? Why was it Jesus? Why couldn't it have been somebody else? Why couldn't he have just appointed one of the disciples? The answer is simple, because there was no one else. There was nobody that could take the place of Jesus. In Ezekiel chapter 22, and in verse 30, he writes, "So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land." God was searching for someone all through the centuries. Where are you? Who can stand there? And he says, "But I found none." It had to be Jesus. In Isaiah chapter 63 and in verse 5, God says, "I looked, but there was no one to help." It had to be Jesus. God says, "Therefore my own arm brought salvation for me, my own fury, it sustained me." It had to be Jesus. Job himself writes about man, which tells us why. He says in Job chapter 1 and verses 1, or 14 verses 1 through 4, Job talks about man. Right after he's born, he's going to be in trouble. He comes forth like a flower and then fades away. It had to be Jesus. In that text, Job says, "Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean thing? No one." You see, it had to be Jesus. And because of these things, only Jesus could be called the Lamb of God. That's what John the Baptist called him in John chapter 1, verse 29. "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Jesus. It had to be Jesus. No one else could have accomplished this. And when we realize this, we realize that as Jesus had to return to heaven, Jesus also had to rise from the grave. He had to be dead and buried, and he had to rise from the grave. Yes, Jesus was crucified. Yes, Jesus died. In Luke chapter 23, verse 46, we are told that Jesus said, "Into my hands I commit my spirit," and it tells us that he said these things and he breathed his last. Jesus died on that cross. And as proof of that, in John chapter 19, verse 34, the soldiers, they stabbed Jesus in his side, and the water and the blood came out. Jesus had to die. And Jesus was buried. In Matthew 27, verses 57 through 60, we read about the rich man Joseph of Arimathea and how he had a tomb, that tomb of the rich man, and he had asked for the body of Jesus, and he took that body and they wrapped it in the linens and the cloth, and they put that in the tomb, and they rolled the stone over the tomb, and then they left him there. You see, Jesus did die. Jesus was buried. But the good news is that Jesus resurrected from the grave. He came out of that tomb. There was a place in Matthew chapter 28, and you read verses 1 through 7. And there were two Marys that came to the tomb early in the morning on that third day. And the tomb was open. And the angel they talked to said, "Don't be afraid." He says, "I know you seek Jesus who was crucified, but he's not there." Must have been pretty shocking, but pretty exciting. "He's not there, for he is risen, as he said." That's great. Jesus crucified, died, buried, resurrected from the grave. You see, only Jesus was the chosen one. Only Jesus could have done these things. And as we continue on in our text, we realize that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, John chapter 11, verse 25, and he is in heaven now working. Jesus is preparing a place for us. He's preparing a place in heaven for believers. Jesus making this place for me, for you, for all who are called the body of Christ, the church, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 24. A place that where everybody who was baptized into Christ is being added to that body, that church, Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. Those who love the Lord and follow the commandments of the Lord, John chapter 14 verse 15, John chapter 14 verse 21. Those who are living faithful lives. Those who obey the gospel of Christ. They've done whatever God has asked. And Jesus is preparing a place for them. He's preparing a place for a prepared people. So what have they done? What have these prepared people done? When Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you, what have these prepared people done to be ready to enter into that heavenly home that Jesus is preparing for them? It's actually quite simple. What they've done is they've heard and been taught the gospel of Christ, John chapter 6, verse 45. What they've done is simple. They love the Lord Jesus, and they have believed that He is the Son of the living God. They've repented of their sins. That means that they've turned away from the ways of this world to the ways of God. And they confess that Jesus is the Christ before man. Simple things, and yet powerful things. These are the people who God is preparing a home for in heaven. If you haven't been taught the gospel, then you don't have a home in heaven waiting. If you haven't believed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, you don't have a home waiting for you in heaven. If you haven't confessed Jesus before men, you don't have a home waiting in heaven. If you have not been baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, you don't have a home waiting for you in heaven. And if you have done all these things, you remain faithful until death, or you don't have a home waiting for you in heaven. Jesus is there. He's in God's house preparing a place for His people. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 through 21 tell us that we are vessels of honor. We're sanctified and useful for the Master. Prepared, it says, for every good work. A prepared people. Why is it important to know and to obey the gospel of Christ? Why is it important for us to prepare ourselves? And the answer is very simple. Jesus is coming back. And all these things that we read in John chapter 14, that, you know, you believe in me, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, what? I'm coming back. That's the good news, that Jesus rose from the dead. He's with the Father, and He's coming back. He's coming back for that prepared people. And He's going to bring an end to all things. He says, I will come again and receive you unto myself. I will come again and receive you unto myself. And we have to understand that this does not apply to the whole wide world. This applies to the prepared people. This applies to the people that have obeyed the gospel of Christ. It applies to people who have believed and continued to walk in faith until the day that they die, or until the day the Lord does come back. A faithful people, He promised to them that where I am, you may be also. To all who have refused to obey, it's exclusion. Exclusion from God's house. Exclusions from that beautiful, holy, righteous home. Exclusion from the idea of no pain and no suffering and no tears, no death. Exclusion from all those things. in 2 Timothy, or 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 7 through 9, if you'll turn there with me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, what we read about the excluded. Second Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7, and to give those who troubled rest with us, the Lord Jesus had revealed from heaven His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from His glory. Excluded from that. Why? Because they did not know God and they did not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, Jesus is coming back. He's prepared a place. And we don't want to be excluded from that place. And you know, it doesn't end in that text. He tells us why. If you just look over to the right of your page there in verse 9 and following, he says, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's why people cannot be saved. That's why they won't see that prepared place for prepared believers, because they just can't believe the truth. Remember in our text, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one's going to come to the Father in heaven, to that prepared place. They will be excluded if they refuse to believe the truth. But I don't want to end with that, because to all who obey Jesus, He will come back and He will take us home. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. This is for the prepared people. This is for the people who have believed and been baptized into Christ. This is for people who are walking in the light as He is in the light. What wonderful promise. Jesus, the Lord Himself, will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. In verse 18, therefore comfort one another with these words. How could we not be comforted? We know that Jesus came down from heaven. We know that Jesus walked among us and brought us the good news. We know that Jesus did many miracles, signs, and wonders while He was here. And we know that Jesus willingly went to the cross and died for our sins. We know that Jesus was resurrected from that grave. And we know that Jesus now is in heaven at the right hand of God, sitting on His throne. And we know that Jesus is going to come back. And we know that if we remain faithful, that He's going to take us up one day, up in the clouds. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 24, it says, then comes the end. The end is going to come. There's going to be a time when Jesus comes back and puts an end to all these things that we suffer with in this world. And He's going to take His church, the prepared people, and He's going to take them to that prepared place. There's hope there. And where hope is in nothing less than these things. You know, peace. Jesus talks about a peace that only comes from following Him. It only comes from obeying the gospel. There is a house in heaven we are vessels of honor and we are useful for the Master. And Jesus will come one day. And He will come and bring peace to those who obey Him. And so you have that. The question really here and now is, are you a prepared person for that prepared place? Are you one that you can have confidence knowing that Jesus is talking about you when He said, I go to prepare a place for you? Is that you? Have you done those things? Have you done them according to the Lord Jesus Christ and His commands? Because if you have, then you should have peace right now. If you're living and walking in the light as He is in the light, you have fellowship with one another and with Christ the Son and God the Father, you have peace. And you should hold on to that. That's your peace. No one can take it from you. It's not the peace like this world has. It's the peace that God gives. You know, thousands of people every year go to a place in San Jose, California, and this place is called the Winchester Mansion. And this Winchester Mansion is a massive structure. If you look it up on the internet, this place is huge. It has 10,000 windows in this house. The wife of the man named Winchester, after the guns that he made, she has been working on this house for 38 years after his death. She has every single day added something to the house. Her construction people are there all the time, adding rooms, adding windows, adding this, adding that. Her belief was that the house was either haunted by people that died because of his gun, or that if she didn't keep building this house that he started, that she would die. When you think about those things, whatever the reason is, she doesn't have peace. And one of the strange things about this house is that she built many stairways that lead to nowhere. Serious. They lead nowhere. There are hundreds of stairways in this house that go right up into walls, into ceilings, and they're down into nothing. It's estimated that she spent more than $70 million in today's money. Pointless construction. And all of this in a desperate search to have peace. But it's ultimately doomed to fail. I want you to think about this. Many people today are seeking peace from within. They're seeking peace with fruitless means and futile ways. They turn to looking for inner strength. They turn to find their own personal ways or their own opinions about things. They turn to immorality. They turn to wealth. They turn to dead-end avenues that lead to nowhere. And like this staircase that leads nowhere, they pursue paths that are not righteous, not chosen by God. They're not looking for the way, the truth, the life. They're looking for some other thing. Maybe it's something that's a little bit easier than the way, the truth, and the life. But whatever, they're not finding peace and they're not going to find everlasting life. They're looking for man's way. Or we need to be a people prepared, right? We need to be a people who are looking for the way, the truth, and the life. People who are on that road that Jesus built. They're people who have God in their hearts. People who obeyed the gospel rather than their own choices, their own actions, their own ways. They chose to follow Jesus rather than themselves. Rather than seeking an end that has nowhere to go. They're looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the anchor and of our salvation, of our souls. They're looking to Jesus. And when you do look that way, you won't find a dead end. You'll find the way to peace. You'll find the way to everlasting life. Remember what Job said? Who can bring a clean thing out of the unclean? No one. Jesus came down with many great promises. And just in this text that we read today, this Jesus who came down from heaven to give us this good news and went back to heaven and prepared a place for us is going to come back just like he said. I hope you've obeyed the gospel. If you're here today and you haven't obeyed the gospel of Christ, if you've not been baptized for the remission of your sins, today's the day to get off that stairway that leads to nothing. Today's the day to find the right way in Jesus, to begin that new life. And if we've been on the stairway to nowhere accidentally, we can turn around, get off of that stairway, and get right back on the stairway to heaven through the Jesus who saved us. So if you have need today, I invite you to come forward now as we stand and as we sing.